This Two Lectures episode features Minister for Environment, Sustainability and Housing, Jane Davidson, recorded live at the Global Event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2009.
I'm very pleased to be here with you today, not least because I think I actually gatecrashed this event, because I bought a house just down the road. And when I heard about the to-do lectures and saw who was going to speak and thought all these fantastic, innovative, entrepreneurial people all in one teepee, can I come? And so I wasn't actually asking to speak when I asked to come. I wanted to come and listen. And I'm just really pleased that in the normal kind of like ministerial way, of course, I didn't get to listen to very much, but to listen to Andrew just tells me how important these lectures are. Because when, you know, away in somebody's back room or shed or wherever it is, people are doing things that are actually going to change the way that we operate our daily functions. And I just think that is such an important message. It's not just about those of you who are inventors, because I'm sure there are other people in this room who do that. But for me as a politician, most of my life, in terms of the personal and the political, is trying to look at ways of getting people to change a behaviour or a set of behaviours that actually are extremely negative in terms of the planet that we live in, to turn to a set of behaviours that are positive while not being too hair-shirty about it and while trying to encourage enough of a consensus and a positive opinion. So there's a really difficult kind of line we have to walk as politicians in terms of taking this agenda forward. But I think we've got some amazing opportunities here in Wales, not least because when the Assembly was set up, and there are people here who won't even know there is such a thing as a National Assembly for Wales, but when the Assembly was set up 10 years ago, we had a legal duty for sustainability written into our founding charter. We're the only part of the UK that has that. We're only one of three countries in the world that has that. And because of that, we in a sense have permission, because when people voted in their tiny margin to have an assembly, they voted for that as well. We have the permission to look at things differently. Now, one of the big tests, I think, of the last 10 years is, have we exercised that? Could you look at decisions taken in Wales over the last decade and think that they were different to decisions that were taken in London or in Edinburgh or in Belfast? And if I'm honest, I would say I don't think you could. Because I think although we all, from all parties, it's not in any way party political issue, we all from all parties signed up to the principle of sustainability without actually putting the structures in place to enable us to test our thinking. So when I was given this massive responsibility of being the minister with the role to develop the sustainability agenda in the Assembly government and the climate change agenda, which nicely sit alongside each other, as well as a whole range of other functions, from energy to fuel poverty to waste to water to walking and cycling to access to the countryside, biodiversity, a whole range of issues that are important in the context of the climate change agenda. When I was given that role of looking at what we do across the Assembly government, it was actually not just about what I did in my portfolio of responsibilities, but literally what we do in health, what we do in transport, what we do in education, what we do in those other ministries as well, to test whether our decisions are sustainable. And to take that forward, in my first year as minister, because I've been minister in this role for 2 years now, we had a really hard look at what we were doing to see whether or not we passed the sustainability test. And I don't think we did. And we asked for an independent assessment of what we were doing, and the Sustainable Development Commission looked at what we were doing, and Cynwyl Cymru, our local sustainability forum in Wales, looked at what we were doing. And the verdict was very much that we could do better. So we sat down and looked again at what we needed to do to make the principle of sustainability the principle at the heart of government. And that's what earlier this year we agreed to do. Across every ministry in Wales, we agreed to have sustainability as the principle at the heart of government. And you can't have a principle at the heart of government without also being able to measure it, to be able to test whether or not you are applying it. So there are five high-level indicators to the principle of sustainability. There's an environmental one related to biodiversity. There's an economic one. There's a social one, a social equality one. There is well-being, because I don't think we look enough at the well-being of our communities, our levels of contentment, of satisfaction or dissatisfaction and discontent. And very importantly for me, because for me the personal and the political are absolutely the same, there is the ecological footprint. Now, some of you here will already know about the ecological footprint, which essentially is a measure of what we consume in our society. And at the moment, in Wales, we are consuming as though we had three planets at our disposal. Well, actually, we're consuming as though we've got 2.7 planets, but the way we're consuming and the increase that we're still seeing year on year means that by 2020, we'll be consuming as though we've got three planets. And clearly, we haven't got that. And if we're consuming as though we've got three planets, on the other side of the world, countries are consuming as though they had less than a planet because we've stolen their resources. Now, I was brought up in Africa, so the personal and the political for me are exactly the same. We steal from Africa when we use resources and we have a wasteful society and a throwaway society. We steal from India and we steal from other countries which do not have anything like their fair share of resources. So in our government in Wales, our government in a small country, 3 million people, 10 million sheep, in our government, we have determined that we are going to bring down our ecological footprint. We're going to bring down our consumerism. And we want to bring it down in ways that give a very, very positive image about what a future Wales could look like. Now, many of you will have seen the 10-10 campaign that was launched in the last couple of days. And I remember having a really exciting whispered discussion on a train with Franny Armstrong and Mark Lynas before the launch, so that we knew all about it about 6 weeks ago, that it was coming up. And it's a really important initiative for people to do their own individual dues, to take their own individual actions. But when Geoffrey Leen wrote about the launch in The Telegraph, he's just moved from The Independent 2 days ago, he said it was really important that in asking people to make the emission reductions, that we also give them a vision of a positive society. And I think that is very important. So what we've done in the way we've developed our policies in Wales is to look at that overarching principle of sustainability at the heart of government, look at what every single minister is doing. We clearly have taken decisions that are not sustainable, but we're trying not to take any more decisions that aren't sustainable for the future. And a big one, which some of you will know about, was a decision that was only taken a matter of weeks ago not to build a relief road for the M4. In a sense, that was the first major test of our government and a sustainability agenda. But we're all looking at ways in which the decisions that we take become more sustainable. Because the personal has to be political when we're trying to ensure that people get the message about reducing their personal carbon emissions or greenhouse gas emissions more generally, but also how we look at ways in which government can assist individuals in what they do. Now, I think the role of government is a fascinating one, because often you are blamed as an individual in government, as a minister, if something isn't happening anywhere. Whereas in fact, good governance, I think, is about getting the right relationship between government and people who want to see change happen. So there are all sorts of ways in which government can change things. Clearly, we can legislate, and we're already doing that in the context of plastic bags, for example, which has been quite a Welsh-focused event in the last few weeks. We can regulate. We're already doing that in the context of our planning system and refusing to allow non-sustainable homes being built for the future. We're regulating in terms of major recycling targets, etc. We're regulating in the context of water and a range of other areas. But I think government has a more elusive role as well, which is how we can grant aid, although the finances are drying up, so that's going to become more difficult, but how we can encourage, how we can support, how we can legitimise other actions, how we can help network people who otherwise wouldn't have a way of getting in touch with each other, how we can get over messages because we have the public ear. You've only got to say something mildly controversial, particularly in the summer. And on plastic bags, I managed to do Radio 1, Radio 2, Radio 5 Live, Radio 4, and I had to turn down Channel 4 News because it conflicted with those all in the same day because there was no other news around. But you have the ear of the media as politicians. You can use it to put over some very positive messages about climate change and others. But we have to make sure that that personal and political sit by side by side. We can't have a situation in an agenda as important as this where what government says and what government does are two different things. Because if we're going to help those people who are taking individual actions and who want extra support from government to take those actions to the next level, then those actions need to be properly supported. Now, I find myself in a really interesting situation in this agenda at the moment, because I was in Poznan last year in the conference, the run-up to Copenhagen last December, which I went to by train. And in Poznan, it became very, very clear that our little country of Wales, which has a detailed climate change strategy, which is just finishing its consultation at the moment, with a detailed set of actions, with carbon emission reductions attached to those actions, I thought we were way behind the rest of the world in what we were doing. And I have been, as Andy says, kicking down doors, being very noisy, trying to do things as quickly as possible in order to ensure that people get this very, very important message as quickly as possible, in order that I can look my children and my putative grandchildren in the eye and say I did what I could on this agenda. But what was really scary in Poznan was that when I got on a platform and talked with other regional governments and small country governments and even with larger country governments about what we were doing in Wales and the way we'd looked at everything that we were doing and we were evaluating it in the context of sustainability and we were looking at that climate change agenda, there actually were only a couple of other countries in the world that had reached that stage. Now, this is seriously terrifying in terms of the run-up to Copenhagen. And therefore, we need to ensure that all those individual do's that people in this room do, all those individual do's that people undertake as part of the 10-10 campaign. Of course, it can't just be for 10-10. It's got to be for 10-11 and 10-12 and 10-13 as well, because it's got to be sustained reductions if we're actually going to be able to make change. We have to ensure that people become greener next year than they are now, that people will be prepared to change their behaviour in ways that they haven't even thought of. I was interested in Andrew's talk just now when he talked about starting off clueless and now is probably the most knowledgeable person on the planet on the most environmentally friendly washing machine. But many people do start off clueless and they need a bit of help about where to go, but they need to know that they will both get support and that the rhetoric will turn into action. So we've all got a major task to do. And I know that other ministers have also said, in other parts of the UK and elsewhere, we need a popular movement as well that is really going to push ministers in what they do. Because in one sense, I'm here because this is an agenda that I solidly believe in taking as much action as possible. But not every minister is assigned up to this agenda anywhere. We have to make sure that individually people lobby at the parliamentary level, at the assembly level, at the local government level, and everything else, because that is the only way that those policies will in fact change. I was interested to read earlier this week a quote from Tony Benn when he was asked to comment on the climate campers, and he said, "This is how I believe change occurs. If you raise an issue, it's usually ignored. If you go on, you're labelled as mad. If you go on further, you're dangerous. Then there's a pause. Then you can't find anyone at the top who doesn't claim to have thought of the idea in the first place. And that is how progress occurs." Now, I would say from my experience, that's a pretty accurate idea of how progress occurs. And when Tony was asked about where the climate campers are now in that debate, he said, "Beyond madness and halfway beyond dangerous towards that pregnant pause." Now, I think it's the job of all of us to make sure that we move from that pregnant pause until there is no minister, no politician of any party who is not claiming to have thought of tackling climate change as a top priority in the first place. Thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.